So chapter four, building the church God's way. Phenomenal. I love this chapter. So good. And if you guys have your Bibles, you can turn to Zechariah chapter four. If not, don't worry about it. I'll give us some background. But the chapter starts off with this verse from Zechariah 4. And it says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. This is like a Calvary Chapel kind of key verse. You'll hear this verse quite often in this particular movement. But in Zechariah 4, so there was the first temple. The first temple was destroyed. And now there's the building of the second temple. And that's a little bit of the background of Zechariah 4. And it says in verse 1, the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who's wakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, what do you see? So I said, I'm looking, and there's a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. So picture this in your minds. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. So there's a bowl, there's seven pipes going to these seven lamps, okay? Two olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl, which is on the top, and the other at its left. So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Now, Zerubbabel was tasked with overseeing the building of the second temple. He was building the second temple. And he was probably a little overwhelmed at this point. And there's a lot going on. He's tasked with this. And it says in verse 6, so he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And he's basically telling, this is a word for Zerubbabel, saying, hey, listen, it's not going to be by your might. It's not going to be by your strength. There's this massive work in front of you, and it's all going to be done by my spirit. And this is why Chuck leads this chapter with this verse. And we keep reading. It says, who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace. Grace to it. I love that. If you guys have ever built like a landscaping wall, the last thing you put is the capstones. And that means it's finished. It's done. That's the last stone that gets put on. And that's exactly what he's saying to Zerubbabel. He shall bring forth the capstone, which shouts of grace, grace to it. I love that. Shouts of grace, grace. Why? Because it's going to be all by the grace of the Lord. It's going to all be by the Spirit of the Lord that this work is going to get done. And it's a wonderful way to lead into this chapter, because you think of the church, you think of churches, you think of, we're going to talk about church programs and things like that. And at the end of the day, the Lord said to Peter, hey, upon this rock, I will build my church. And it is such a, maybe not to all of us, but for some of us, it's such a 180 to the mindset that some of us have been taught in church. Hey, we need to build the church. We need to get the church programs going. We got to do the demographic studies, and we got to make sure that, you know, we know the type of people in this area and all these things. And everyone's trying to, not everyone, but there are people that are literally trying to build God's church. But Jesus said that he's going to build his church. And Chuck in the chapter, he just says, and again, this is a book written to leaders and pastors. There was this movement was growing, and he needed something to give to pastors, say, hey, this is what the mindset is. This is what we're holding to. This is what the Lord has been showing us. And he says, hey, the pastor's job is simply to feed the flock. It's to feed the flock and tend to the sheep. It's not anyone's job to build the church. That's the Lord's job. Now, that doesn't mean that we just sit on our hands and sit on the couch and do nothing. There are things that can be done, but as far as wanting the church to progress and to grow, that's the Lord's job. That's up to the Lord. And that's kind of the gist of the chapter. And that's why he leads in with, hey, it's not going to be my might. It's not going to be by, you know, any man's power or any man's strength. It's going to be the Lord's spirit. If the Lord is in it, it's going to get done. If the Lord is saying something that's is going to happen, you better believe that it's going to happen. Because whatever the Lord says will not come back void. His word does not come back void. I'm reminded of Jeremiah chapter 1, if you guys remember. Jeremiah, he was probably in his late teens when he was called into the ministry that God had for him. And he said, Lord, I can't do this. I'm a youth. I don't have the words to speak. And it's something that we often see through the scriptures. Moses, what did Moses say? Lord, I can't speak. And God says, what? Who made man's mouth? And then he says, well, Lord, I still can't do it. He said, fine, I'll get Aaron then. But what I'm saying is gonna be accomplished. And he would say to Jeremiah, do not say that you're a youth. Whatever I command you, you shall speak. He says, I've made you like a bronze wall, and I'm going to set you up against this people, because he was proclaiming judgment on the people of Israel. And he said, Jeremiah, don't be afraid of their faces, or I'm going to dismay you before them. And basically, God is saying, this is what is going to happen. This is what I want to happen. And that's exactly what happened with Jeremiah, just as another example. And if God's in something, you know, where God guides, God provides, so to speak. Where God is guiding, he's going to give the people everything they need to make sure that his work is done and being brought forth. So right on the first page, it says, a distinctive characteristic of Calvary Chapel is the relaxed, casual style. Now, he's not talking about clothing, though that is what we see in most Calvary Chapels. He's just saying the way that ministry is done. It's relaxed, it's casual. There isn't a lot of spiritual hype. The pastor doesn't try to motivate people carnally, nor is apt to shout at the congregation. Some of us, there are definitely some people that shout not at the people, but just because they're just passionate about whatever's in the word. This stems from the belief that if the Lord doesn't build the house, they labor in vain who build it. That's from Psalm 127. Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless he guards the city, the watchman stays awake. Basically saying, if the Lord's not in it, then you're wasting your time. It's completely pointless. A lot of hype and pressure aren't really going to do the job. We simply trust in the work of the Holy Spirit and that Jesus Christ is building his church as he said he would. This is so good for anyone who is planting a church, because you just want to see everything happen today. Right, I want everything to happen now. And at the end of the day, the Lord has to constantly remind me that this is his church. He's going to do with his church what he wants. Lord, why aren't we in a building right now, Lord? The parking, Lord, and the heat and the AC in the summer and all these things. And the Lord just says, listen, it's my church. This is where I have you. So do whatever it is you can do right now. But I'll let you know. I'll let you know when the time comes. Now, to bring it home, that doesn't mean that I just sit idly by. I'm calling people. I'm seeing if the Lord wants to open any doors. I'm trying to figure out if there are any spots that the Lord has for us. People in the congregation have been coming to me, and I praise the Lord for that, saying, hey, we thought about this place. We looked at this place. And that's good, man. That's what we should be doing. But I can't bust the door down, so to speak. I can't manufacture a work of God. It's ultimately up to him. And our prayer should be, Lord, what's your will? Do you want us to stay here for a season? Do you not want us to? Do you want us to go somewhere else? It's, Lord, what's your plans, Lord? Bless your plans and help me to follow your plans rather than here's what I want, you know, the church to do or to be or whatever it is. Bless my plans. It's ultimately just looking to him and letting him having the precedence and trusting that he's going to build his church. And he says, I have complete confidence that it's his church. He's going to build it. All I have to do is be faithful. I simply need to watch his work, and then the pressure isn't on me. He says, it's not my responsibility. It's not my church. It's his church. And then further down, he says, you'll find yourself under, he says, I believe it's very important to remember this. If you try to carry the load and bear the burden, you'll find it's too great for you. You'll find yourself under pressure to create schemes and hypes, and then you begin to push and manipulate people. And then he gives an example. He's basically saying, there are those who try to build the church. They come up with programs, and in and of themselves, the programs aren't really bad. And sometimes the heart is good. You're trying to build the church. But he gives the example, then you have to keep those things going. And then there's the pressure to keep them going there's the pressure to just keep that program going or whatever it is. And Chuck's basically saying, isn't it just better to just trust the Lord that he's going to add to the church? that he's going to do the work, then the pressure's off of me. It's his church, his will, his body, his flock. And then the pressure is off of the leader or the leadership. And we're ultimately now just following behind the Lord. And we're saying, Lord, where are you leading? Help us to follow you and do whatever it is you're calling us to do. And it takes a lot of the pressure off. And then he gives this example of how they purchased the property, and it was the leading of the Lord, and they had some money issues, and Chuck was able to say, well, Lord, this is your problem. This is your problem. If you've led us this way, then this is your problem. I don't have to worry about it. I praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that I don't have to worry about the big problems. And I can just say, Lord, this is your problem. It's your church. Whatever you want to do. That takes a lot of pressure off. He talks of Matthew 16:18. Again, we just went over this. How Jesus would say to the disciples and to Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. He says, he didn't say upon this rock, you will build my church. And again, he just reiterates, we need to realize it's his church, and he's the one who said who would build it. And then he goes into the call of the shepherd, and that's to feed the sheep, tend to them, and to take care of them. And again, he's just keep in mind, he's writing this to leaders and pastors, things like that. At the end of that, he says this, it's his job to add to the church. It's his job to build the church. My job is just to love the sheep, take care of them, watch over them, feed them, tend them, and trust the Lord to build the church and add those that should be saved. When leadership is not worrying about building the church, then they're able to do what they're called to do, which is to feed and tend the sheep. If you guys remember Acts chapter 6, we've gone over this before, but it's worth reiterating. There was a little schism in the church. There was the Jewish-speaking widows, and there was the Greek-speaking widows. And the Greek-speaking widows felt that they were being taken advantage of. So the apostles said, hey, choose out from among you guys 7 men that are filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can focus on preaching the word and on prayer. That's our role that the Lord has given us. And when a leader is able to just trust the Lord and just to say, Lord, my confidence is in you. This is your work. This is your leading. Then I can just focus on, or the leader can just focus on, hey, help me to just feed the sheep. Help me to just do what you absolutely called me to do. And this is a good word for delegation as well. Again, we went over this a little bit in the church government chapter. You know, 2 offices, elders and deacons, as far as personally I see in the Word of God. And at some point, I'm praying that the Lord just raises up other men and women to get involved, to take some of the burden, and rightfully so. This is something that every leader should be doing, is raising up other people, or discovering who the Lord has called to get involved and to oversee and lead ministries. And that way, every person is able to focus on what the Lord has given them to do. Now, obviously, with the church plan, you know, there's caveats to that, things that there's just the way things have to run. I mean, the Bible says, hey, don't lay hands on anyone hastily. Never be in a rush to lay hands on anyone. I didn't say that. That's what the scripture said. So it's up to me to wait and to say, and just to pray. Say, Lord, are you separating anyone? Are there people that you're calling, maybe not to ordained offices, but to oversee this ministry or that ministry? And as you pray and seek the Lord, he will show you who he's raised up or called to oversee whatever it is. But that comes in his time. It's not up to me to pick and choose. It's up to me to pray and to seek the Lord and to see who he's chosen. And I'm praying, man, that there would just be a team, an elder team one day, deacons, ladies getting involved, overseeing ministries, ladies' ministries, where we're able to now minister to the whole flock of God effectively, man. And that way, no one's getting overwhelmed or burned out. I would also go as far as to say this. You know, when Chuck says where God guides, God provides, that was just kind of one of the things he went by. He's basically just saying, he was talking about money when he said it. He said, hey, if God's guiding, he's going to provide all the money. We don't need to go beating up the sheep for money or do triple tithe Sundays, or even he goes as far as to, we don't even have to pass a plate. It's just if the Lord's guiding, then he's going to provide. He's going to put it on the hearts of the people to do. I would go as far as to say this, though, and there's a caveat to this. If we're trying to start ministries just to start them, just to say we have more ministries going on, or to try to get more butts in seats, and there's no servants to fulfill those ministries, to me, I would say that's probably not a ministry that the Lord wants us involved in. You know, there's this church planning podcast that CC Philly puts on, and Pastor Joe, one of the things he said was, there were some youth in the church, and basically it took like years and years for them to start a youth ministry. There was a bunch of youth in the church, but he just hadn't heard from the Lord yet. He hadn't sensed that was what the Lord wanted them to do. And it was so good because he was just making the point of let God dictate what to start. Don't just try to start something and try to grow it. Let God dictate what needs to happen. And it's just a good principle to go by, because then you know that it's the Lord's leading. And if you end up with issues in that ministry down the road, you could say, well, Lord, you started the ministry, so you can figure it out. What's the solution here, Lord? And then we can go to him and say, all right, Lord, this is your ministry, your problem. What are we going to do? And it takes a lot of pressure off of us trying to figure out in our own, you know, human wisdom, or so to speak, on what to do. He goes on. If it's the Lord's work, if he's done it and he's added, then you don't have to strive to keep it going. It's that striving to maintain that creates ministerial burnout, or will run you into the ground, or will lead you into all kinds of aberrant practices. Because you've striven to gain this crowd, you have now got a crowd you must strive to hold, and that can be really tough. And then he kind of ends this chapter with, what you want to catch the people with is what God has ordained to happen in the church on a weekly basis, and that's the preaching and the teaching of the word. That is the one thing that will continue in this church, man, is the preaching and the teaching of the word of God. That's my conviction. I believe that's the conviction of the scriptures. I believe that's what Paul gave to Timothy a couple times over again. He would say, hey, give attention to reading, exhortation. Give attention to going through the law, going through the scriptures. He would say in 2 Timothy chapter 4, hey, Paul would be writing to Timothy, hey, Timothy, because the word of God is inspired by God, God wrote it, and it's able to make men and women complete, thoroughly equipped for everything they need, and it's able to save, preach the word. He would give this charge to Timothy. Timothy, I charge you that preach the word in season and out of season. This is what I desire you to do with the church at Ephesus. And ultimately, the implication is all the churches. God desires us to go through the word of God. And my conviction is systematically through the word of God, to get the whole entire counsel of the word of God, everything that's found in it. And he just ends the chapter with simply that. We teach, preach the word of God. That is what grabs the mind of the people, is God speaking through his word to the people. And we're sheep, man. We want to be fed. And God, the Lord told Peter to feed his sheep. How are we fed? How do we get satisfied, so to speak? It's by feeding on the word of God and letting it speak to us. And this is why, you know, we're so heavy on just personal time with the Lord. I don't know about you guys, man, but you get alone with the word of God and you really just ask the Lord to speak to you. And he speaks to you. The words jump off the pages because the word is living. It's not just words. It's living and it's powerful. And as you get into the word, the Spirit of God is speaking to you. The Spirit of God's taking the words and he's convicting you or encouraging you or challenging you or whatever it is. And this is why every Sunday we come together under the teaching and the preaching of the word of God. Let the word of God dictate how we act and how we do church, so to speak. So all that being said, building the church God's way, it's simply allowing him, waiting on him, and following his lead. You know, it's Pastor Randy Cahill from Calvary Chapel, Boston. He said, I'd rather be, I forget the exact measurements he used, but he was like, I'd rather be 5 inches behind the Lord than 5 feet ahead of him. I'd rather be 5 inches behind. I'd rather be seeing the very backside of him. And there's actually a psalm, I forget what psalm it is, where it says, Lord, help me to follow right behind you. Help me to see your backside right behind you. And it's so key that we allow the Lord to lead. It's so key that we have a heart of God, whatever you want. Look, if you want to close the door on this, then amen. God, if you want to open the door on this, it's going to be a lot of labor, but amen, Lord, amen, whatever you desire. And we don't need to fear where the Lord leads, but because wherever he's leading, he's going to be right there with us. He said he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. And again, I'd rather be 5 inches behind where I know the Lord is with me, where I know that whatever problem or issue comes, that I know that it's his will. I know that I'm in the will of God. But the only way for us to know that is if we are following him, if we're 5 inches behind rather than getting ahead. This is, I got to be honest, something kills me, man. It kills me to, the danger, and danger is not the right word. The caveat or the concern to this is there will probably be people and with a good heart, but saying, hey, why aren't we doing this yet? Hey, why don't we have this ministry started yet? Hey, why aren't we in a new building yet? Hey, you're not doing enough, pastor, or whatever it is. And I can say, listen, I'm just trying to follow the Lord. I'm waiting on him. Unfortunately, it's difficult. I know. You just got to trust that I'm seeking the Lord. And listen, this, if you have concerns, if anyone has concerns, I say, bring them, man. Put them on the table. Let's talk about them. Rather than, you know, just kind of throwing them off like they're nothing. I would rather make sure that I am being held accountable. I'd rather make sure, Lord, maybe you're speaking to me through this person in the congregation that's bringing up this concern or whatever it is. I say, amen. And those are things that I'll take to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you think about this? Am I missing something? Am I not seeing something? But I think that's the heart that all of us should have. There are going to be people that, you know, you read the Proverbs and the Psalms, rebuke is a good thing, man. Chastisement from the Lord is a good thing. That means that we're his children. You read Hebrews 12, it says if God doesn't correct us, then we're illegitimate. So the correction is good. Like our children, it's good to correct them. It's good to discipline them. Now there's a way to do that, but it's good. It's good. You know, the whole passive thing, they'll just figure it out and they'll, you know, just let them do their thing. I don't see that in the scriptures. And it's the same with us. God desires us to be disciplined for the purpose of joy, man. You know, it's like the dog in the backyard. That dog in a fenced-in backyard is way more free and way more protected within the fence, so to speak. Because guess what? He's not going to run out on the street and get nailed by a car. It's the same thing with walking with the Lord. He puts up the guardrail so that we can walk in freedom, so that we can walk in joy and within the boundaries that he set for us, in the design that he set for us. And not to get too much on a side note, but this is why people in the world are broken, man, and they're miserable, and they're destitute and just lost. And because they're walking outside of those boundaries. And it's not until people come to realize there's a holy God, there's absolute truth, there is morality. And when we're walking outside of that, you wonder why people are miserable. Because we're walking outside of those, the design that God has given us. But God says, come, repent. Let me show you true freedom. Right? Drink from the living water, man. And it's within his boundaries and staying behind him with his safety. So as we're, you know, as we go about church and kind of go about our days and do our things, it's just important to keep the mindset up. Let the Lord do his work. Let the Lord build the church. Let the Lord lead us in our own personal lives and relationships and job decisions and everything else. And just trust that he knows what he's doing. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways high above our ways. We can't even comprehend him. But he's good. So you go on the character. You go on the cross. God is so loving and so good. So therefore, I can trust him in whatever way he's leading, so to speak. And that's building the church God's way. It's not by might nor by power, not by the strength of man, but it's going to be by his spirit. And he'll listen. When we're in his will, you want to talk about strength? You'll be able to do things that you never thought possible. He gives you the ability through his spirit to do things you previously were not able to do. And when you're walking in his will, he's empowering. We're going through the book of Acts. This is what we see all throughout the book of Acts. They were filled, and filled yet again to be witnesses, not just in preaching, but in the way they lived as well.